Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Exodus chapter number 25, and we're going to begin today in verse 31. Moses is up on the top of Mount Sinai. He's inside the glory cloud. He is spending 40 days with God, getting more information that he needs in order to get the Israeli people started as a holy nation, as a kingdom of priests. And one of the things that they need is the building of the tabernacle. In effect, the tabernacle is God the King's tent at the middle of the Israeli encampment. Something physical, something tangible, something that they can see all the time to remind them they are part of his covenant, of his kingdom. And so Moses is being given very specific directions on how to build the components that are part of this tabernacle. And he's doing it by looking at certain things that he can see in the heavenly throne room of God. Those are going to be examples to him as to how things should look. And he's being given dimensions as to how they should look. And we are using the longer royal Egyptian cubit of 20.7 inches as I give the standards for this, because I am convinced that was the dimension used at this particular time in Israeli history. So we've already talked about the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's throne. So don't think of it as a storage box, because even though things were stored in the seat of it, it was actually God's sedan chair. It was his portable throne. And so we've got the dimensions for that. We've got the dimensions, the directions regarding the dinner table, that is the table of the presence, where God will represent how he and Israel are in each other's presence every single day of the week. And I think there will also be indication that there's a special end of the week ceremony that revolves around this table that in some way is a precursor of weekly communion. And now we need to talk about the menorah, the lampstand. And I know some of your English versions that you may have grown up with, maybe that you still use, refer to this as a candlestick. It is not. They typically did not use wax as a light source, or even any type of fat as a light source. Instead, they used olive oil, a very high-grade olive oil. So verse number 31, you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. In a little bit, we'll discover that it's one big chunk of gold that then gets shaped into this special stylized representation of an almond tree in bloom. And that's about 75 pounds, maybe a little bit more than that, in weight. So the lampstand shall be made of hammered work, meaning that the person who's going to be doing the design work on it is going to use a hammer to shape it. Its base, its stem, its cups, its calyxes, and I didn't even know what a calyx was when I first started seeing this word in this text, and I had to go and look it up. It's the part of a flower bloom that covers the bloom when it's just started, and once the bloom pops up and out, the calyxes kind of curl down underneath. Okay, so now hopefully you'll understand what a calyx is. So its base, that's going to be the bottom that holds everything up. Its stem, that's the main trunk. Its cups and its calyxes and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. Now, the flowers are going to actually be the place where the lamps sit. The lamps will actually be separate from the lamp stand. So they're not counted into the weight. So this is just the lamp stand we're talking about right now. Verse 32. There shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out the other side of it. But there's going to be a total, I'm breaking into the text here, sorry. There's going to be a total of seven lamps or lampstand platforms because the central stem is going to have a lampstand position on the top of it. And then coming out of the stem, there's going to be three that come up on one side of the central and three that come up on the other side for a total of seven across the top. You could look at some details of Titus's triumphal arch in the Roman history, because the large menorah that was captured during the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in AD 70 is represented on that arch. Now, it's a much larger version of what we're talking about here, and it's a much blockier version than what we're talking about here. This seems to be much more airy and much more stylized as an almond tree where you can see in the Titus arch that the menorah that they captured was very utilitarian in its design. Okay, so back to this. So three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So if you can imagine, each branch is going to come up to its tip, and then it'll have kind of the curling down of the calyxes, and then the curling up of a bowl of the flower petals of an almond in full bloom. And then inside that bowl of the bloom, that's where the platform is actually going to be for the lamp itself. That's where the lamp will sit. And so it's very beautiful. And I love the fact that it's made like an almond plant that's in full bloom because of a later story that we have. You remember that Moses and Aaron are challenged as to why they get to call the shots on behalf of God for the Israeli people. And God basically says, okay, we'll settle this. Everybody that seems to want their job, you bring your personal stick, your personal staff into the presence of God and leave it overnight, and we'll see what God says about this issue. And so the next morning when they went in, everybody still had dead sticks except Moses and Aaron, because Aaron's rod, which was made of almond wood, had put out fresh branches and blossomed out, and some of the blossoms had actually gone through the process of ripening into ripe almonds. And it's just the way that God said, oh yeah, that's exactly what I intended. Aaron is my high priest. He's the one that I'm putting all the energy and effort into. The rest of you need to submit to his leadership. And so it's all about the almond tree that is budded out and productive. And so here we have the menorah, the light source inside God's royal tent at the center of the encampment of the Israelites, is a stylized almond tree in full bloom. All right, so next, verse 34. On the lampstand itself, there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms with their calyxes and their flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Now, don't get too confused by it. This is actually additional decoration down below where the lampstand sits. There's seven places up at the top that are opened up blossoms where the lamps will be seated. But down below in the decoration motif, there are other blossoms that are represented. Verse 36, their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it, a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. So it's a very, very finely made piece of artwork. It's too bad that we don't have pictures of it. But the Israeli people early on got it in their heads that they were not supposed to make images of anything. So because of that, we have nothing from that time period. All right, so verse 37, you shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Now, what do they mean by that? It means that you take a normal lamp design, which is basically a reservoir for the oil, and then there's a tapered bit that comes out from that reservoir where the wick is laid so that the wick is taking the oil out of the reservoir up into the wick itself, and the wick is burning at the end of that tapered portion. That's the design of a lamp. So when these lamps are put in place, they are put in place so that the tapered bit is facing inward toward the center of the room, toward the center of the tent, because that's the direction the light is going to be more likely directed by the design here. So you shall make seven lamps for it. The lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all its utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And I correct myself there because I forgot the wording here until just now reading it again. And that is, everything is made out of a total of one talent of gold, or roughly 75 to 80 pounds of gold. So that means it's going to be fairly thin and light in its design for the entire lampstand. And then you've got the seven lamps that have to be made. The tongs and things here, the utensils, are going to consist of what you need in order to tend to the wicks and put the fire out without using your fingers to do it, because that would be inappropriate. So those are the sorts of things that are also going to be nearby and part of this menorah. Verse 40, see that you make them after the pattern for them which has been shown you on the mountain. So Moses is apparently walking through a 3D representation of what God wants made. So he can actually see enough of the design elements that he will be able to verify that Bezalel, who is the man that will actually oversee the making of these things, he is a master of artistry in a whole bunch of different materials. Moses will be able to verify that he is doing exactly according to what Moses has already seen during his time on Mount Sinai with God. So Moses is spending this 40 days effectively walking through a full-scale representation of what God wants made. And he's jotting down all these details so that he can then pass it on. Chapter 26. Now we need to talk about the larger tabernacle. Now, we haven't got to everything that's going to be made for the worship things, because we haven't talked about the altar of incense. We haven't talked about the big water tank. We haven't talked about the great big barbecue, otherwise known as the altar. So we haven't talked about any of those things. We'll get back to them. So chapter 26, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them." Now, this first bit of material that we're talking about here is the first thing that's going to be laid over the framework that we'll be talking about later. So this is what will form the walls, the fabric walls, and roof of the interior of the tabernacle building. That is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant will be located, and the holy place that's in front of it, where the priests are going to do their daily work. And so this is going to be very expensive material. It's going to have a lot of blue and purple and scarlet in it, because those are the more expensive materials, because the dyeing process is tougher to do because there's rarer materials used in it. But notice that these things are going to have cherubim that are embroidered into these already very precious fabrics. Now, the cherubim, as we've talked about before, are real creatures. They're not mythological. They are angels which serve in God's services, in God's throne room. We see them very clearly described in the book of Ezekiel, the first 10 chapters for sure. They have four faces, and those faces are a human face, a lion-like face, a bull-like face, and an eagle-like face. And they have four wings, two sets of two. Their bodies are covered in eyes, meaning probably peacock-like material decoration. The book of Ezekiel seems to indicate that these are not beings made up of flesh and blood, but rather they are made of crystal. And that would make it even more amazing to see these creatures in their native environment. In the book of Ezekiel, we know that there's four of them around the base of God's glory tower. They are in a position of guardianship around the base of God's tower. The Bible seems to indicate that Satan, when he was first created, was one of these type of angels. That is so sad to think about, that he is now a rebel. All right, so these guys know what cherubim look like. Moses has seen cherubim in the presence of God. The 70 elders, remember, eight in God's presence, they almost certainly saw a vision like what Ezekiel and John and Isaiah had seen. They saw angelic creatures, so they know what these creatures look like. So they are now going to embroider a two-dimensional representation of these creatures that are real into this bottom layer that covers over the tabernacle. Now, verse number 2 gets into the dimensions. And this is where it really, really does get tough, because you can't think of these things as just simply flat, because what we've got is several pieces that will then be hooked together, which will then be draped over a three-dimensional framework. And so that's what makes it tough to verbalize this. I put my appeal out there. If there's anybody out there, or you know of anybody, that would be really good at drawing 3D representations that I'm trying to describe here from the scripture, or better yet, can help build like a 3D model in computer of these things, have them contact me, and we can kind of make this a project that perhaps will get them some financial return when they can maybe sell some of these things to people that have an interest in seeing them. I'm not interested in that side. I'm only interested in trying to get it represented more appropriately to the way that the scripture describes it here. So my contact information, very simple, thomasjshort@comcast.net. And my church cell number, 574-850-1327. Please, only serious people contact me about this. If you like have it as a hobby that you do like every once in a while and you're like only semi good at it, that's not really what I'm looking for. I apologize for having to be that specific, but I really think that somebody that's been gifted by God is out there that could help in this sort of thing. Okay? So verse number 2 says, the length of each curtain that we're talking about here is 28 cubits. Now, 28 cubits, and I thought I had that on my list here, and I don't see it. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Is going to be in the upper 40-foot range, 47, 48 feet, something like that. I will try before we get back next week to make sure I've got these dimensions, because we'll be back into this section pretty quick. So the breadth of each of these curtains that we're talking about is 4 cubits. So that's 6 feet, 9 inches when we're using these longer cubits, the royal cubits. All the curtains shall be the same size. So these curtains are being made as components that will then be coupled together so that they can become this drape over the 3D frame that we will be describing later. So verse number 3 says, 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain on the first set, and likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite one another, and then you shall make 50 clasps of gold and couple the curtains one to the other with the clasps, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. Now, as I said, what we're going to do is we're going to put these different curtains, which we have a very specific size for, together. So then they will become one large unit. But then there's 2 of them that can be connected to one another with clasps when we get ready to build the tabernacle each time it's put up. And those clasps that we're talking about are actually going to mark the dividing line between the holy place, where the priests do their work, and the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant is located. And the draping is going to make that line be at the breakpoint between the two locations. And again, I apologize because we're having to talk in 3D when we're not even seeing anything because we're on the radio right now. But effectively, this is going to become the interior decoration of God's tabernacle. And there'll be angels all around. There'll be all these cherubim on this special embroidered material that you can actually see through the framework, because we're going to talk about that when we get back together next week, that it is designed for this fabric to be seen from the inside of the tabernacle.